You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So to start things off, I have several questions about that, but I need to focus on something else real quick right now. I need to know if anybody has any dog obedience trainers on the East Side that they trust that I can get a dog that's a small dog to poop outside the house. Is something I need. Because I ran a little late this morning. Good morning. I ran a little late this morning because at about 4 a.m., woke up, went to the closet, and like old man Shivitz, I think it was the guy, Shimmons. It was Shimmons, old man Shimmons. In Billy Madison, it was poop again. And I stepped in it, and then it was 4 a.m., and I'm screaming, because I stepped in it with one, and then I stepped in it with the other, and now I'm stuck right outside the closet door, and I'm yelling,
two-step.
I'm yelling for Liz to wake up so she can get this poop off my feet so I can go take a shower. It's the first day of school, by the way. And so it's 4 a.m., and I'm waking up the little ones, and I'm waking up my wife.
You did wake them up?
Oh, the whole house. The whole house. Because I was just, it's 4 a.m. You're not in the best mood. You're not in the best mood.
I always love how in the Carmen household, he has no problems waking up the rest.
Zero.
I walk on pins and needles every morning.
Bring the house down.
So that
down.
I don't wake up my wife. Because if I wake up my wife or I wake up the kids, which in turn will wake up the wife. I love how you have carte blanche to do this in your house,
it is.
Then you don't even feel bad about
it. No, I don't feel. I feel bad for Liz, who had to wake
do
up
you?
In the middle. Yes, I do. I actually do feel terrible for Liz, and I explained to her. I go, listen, I don't mean to yell. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the dog, because when I wake up, the dog goes over and crawls over where I was laying down, and then she sleeps. And then usually she's very cute because she's small. She's 5 pounds and she's fluffy. She's a miniature poodle, and I got her for Liz for her birthday 2 years ago.
Easier to toss around the room after you step in it.
And well, at that point, I wanted to throw pillows, and I'm going, damn you, Ginger. Damn you! And then she sees me, and then she does like that slink and went right under the bed. Because once she's under the bed, I can't get to her. She knows that. My paws are too big. I'm too big. I can't get to her.
It is.
Sam was too big of a dog. Sam was a good dog.
It is amazing.
I miss Sam.
The two different worlds we live in. If
damn good
I
dog.
Even did anything above a whisper and I woke up the house,
the whole
I
house.
Would be set packing so fast.
It is. It is exactly what Henry Hill's kids were going through when she was trying to throw him out of the house. Not without her keys, you're not. That fight that was going on, except it's all me. It's just me. I'm both Henry and Karen. That was all the money we had. That's all I was. And I'm just yelling outside the closet because I can't move. I can't move because it's on my feet and I can't track it through the carpet. Because I know her day's going to be worse because I ain't going to be there to clean it up later. So someone's going to have to clean up all this mess. And so she would have to clean up the mess. So I'm sorry. She's got to wake up and get the toilet paper and get it off my feet.
So who was responsible originally?
Bare ass naked, by the way.
Who was responsible originally
me.
For the training of the dog?
Her. It's her dog.
So she took full
the dog
onus
was supposed
over this.
To be housebroken already. And in so many ways, it kind of is, but she's 5 pounds, so she's dainty. So if it rains outside, the grass is already too high. So if you like cut your grass to a normal length, it's too high for her. She can't go on anything but like a putting green. And then if it rains, snow is impossible. You're not doing it with snow.
Well, it's not happening.
She's going to go in the house.
Yeah, I thought you had told us when the inclement weather came in that you guys kind of gave up on trying to take the dog outside.
Yeah, basically. We tried.
She can't really be all that surprised that the dog's not housebroken now because of that. You develop some bad habits, it sounds like.
I understand that, and I feel bad about it, but it ain't my fault. At the same time, I told her for like a year and a half, like, we got to take this dog to a trainer. Like, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
It can't. She is, because before she was trying to use the dining room as a toilet, and now I have picnic tables, folding tables that are set up to block her so she couldn't go in there. But she just finds other places to put it. So she does it in the one sitting room. We have a baby gate that blocks her off from the kids' room. She can't go in the kids' room, and now she's just putting it in front of the closet.
Now, it's never too late, right? I haven't had a dog in so long.
She's only 2 years old.
Right, it's never too late to actually train a dog, right?
Yeah, and in like dog years, she's like a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So it's like we're having problems with our 9-year-old daughter.
This still should be time.
Yes.
Okay, well, I imagine you'll get some good suggestions. Is there anything Ken can do? Forget about pain. Forget about... I just want to know, are there any home remedies here? Is there anything you can do to bypass having to pay the big money
for the dog whispers? Well, you know what? I'm saving on gas now, so I might as well pay a damn dog whisperer. Am I right?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'm sorry to start with that, everybody. It's just I had to get that off my chest. Do you have any suggestions over there? Do you have anything?
It's time to man up and get your little 5-pound dog in order. I don't know.
It was so much easier when I had an 87-pound dog, and it's just like, hey, get your ass outside. Let's go. And he was a boy.
Like Anthony brought up, I think it sounds to me that you've created your own problem, and now you've got to lie in it.
And she's, well, I'm not going to lie in the.
Oh, you're going to lie in it.
Well, your kids and wife are not going to lie.
You're going to slip and fall. You're going to pratfall right into it one morning.
You're going to be waking them up every morning.
Yeah, it was not a good morning in the household. Not a good afternoon for the Browns.
The Mount Carmen eruptions at 4 in the morning are kind of legendary.
It happens about once a week.
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
That's where my mother and I, my mom used to do that. She would get mad and start slamming cupboard doors at like 4 in the morning, letting everybody know she was upset. And the apple didn't fall far from the tree. I am my mother's son. Browns had their own problems yesterday afternoon. So this is where I stand on the thing. How long has he been with the Browns? 8 years? Is this season 9?
9. He's 2017. He was drafted.
We're going into season 9 with Miles. It is what it is, guys. If you expected him to say anything, ain't going to happen. He demanded a trade. He wanted money. He gave him money. Then you gave him cupcakes and dinosaurs like he was having Billy Madison's third grade party when he signed his extension and did his press conference. So just because you give him cupcakes and dinosaurs, you can't all expect to act like his parents and demand answers for it. He's a grown man, and I've told you this before, and you're going to sound like, I know it to some people, it sounds like I'm just making excuses for Miles. I'm not. You think what you think. That's not an excuse, but it stands right there. He is, while he will go down as the greatest Browns defensive player to play in a Browns uniform, he will go down as a Browns first ballot Hall of Famer. He is a mercenary. He is a Browns lifelong mercenary. He is there to get sacks. That's it. So I care about public safety. I do. I'm not trying to sweep that under the rug. I wish he would have just said, hey, you know what? I got a lead foot. I was in a hurry to go home. It was 2 a.m. We just flew home. I wasn't paying attention that closely. I'm working on it. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm taking care of this with the courts. I understand I've had a history with this. I would like to move on with it, and I'd like to focus on this football team. I wish he would have just started with that, but he didn't. So he just decided to avoid the questions or not answer the questions to the point where, what was it? Jeff asked him what was it like to look down and see 100 on the speedometer, which was a pretty strong thing to ask.
We gotta take
pretty
Jeff
emotional
Schiddell
thing to ask.
Where can we take him to Thompson Speedway? Can we take him mid-Ohio? Where can we take Jeff Shedell?
Route 43's got one we can get him
I'd love to show him what it looks like. I got to say, I've looked down and looked at north of 100. It's pretty fun. Is it responsible? Not necessarily.
Jeff's an east sider. The rocket car's got to be over there. Let's get him.
I've been in the rocket car. Rocket car is awesome. Rocket car is a good time. But you could say I'm making excuses for him. That's fine. I'm sure I'm going to get...
What's the fastest Jeff Shedell's ever gotten at? What is he driving?
Topaz? Let's not tell people the type of car he drives. A Mercury Topaz?
What's he get up to?
Can I tell
you
a story?
What's his license plate number?
Podcast 10:15 Eastern. Let me tell you a story about a Mercury Topaz. I won't remember it, but if anybody can remember it, it's a pretty good story. I promise you. You can say I'm making excuses for him. I'm sure I'll get killed on the internet. You're making excuses for Miles. You're giving him a free pass. I expect him to get 16 sacks. That's all I expect him to be. I expect him to be nice to fans when he meets him. He is nice to fans when he meets him. He does speed. I wish he wouldn't speed. This whole thing is annoying. It's extremely annoying. He's exacerbated it. But again, you gave him cupcakes and dinosaurs for signing a $123 million guaranteed deal just a few months ago. Just because you gave him all these things and we had a party during his press conference doesn't mean you get to treat him like a parent. You're not his dad. I'm not his dad. So he's answered to the letter of the law. I'm sure whatever fine, he's been paid. I'm sure whatever points are on the license are on his license. And we move on. I'm sorry. I wish everybody would have got their answers, but it's ended after here. That's it.
Do you think he was surprised that there was a question yesterday? Because I thought that was pretty predictable.
No, I think he knew he was going to get a question. I think he knew he was going to get several questions. That's why I think it took him so long to talk. I think he thought, when did it first happen? Over a week ago, right?
It was right after the Carolina game.
Yeah. So, yeah, Saturday. So it's been almost 2 weeks, week and a half. So I figured he thought like we would all just move on.
Well, there was a little,
and they
very,
did move on.
It wasn't that loud, but there was a little criticism of him not talking, the Browns not putting him.
Well, especially after joint practices, he didn't speak. And then if he doesn't play in the game, I guess he doesn't speak after the game, right?
Well,
The joint practices,
you thought just because, hey, you're going up against the Super Bowl champs, where are the Browns and all this? So he probably didn't necessarily want to talk all that much, whatever. I'm a little surprised just because, like you saw, Isaiah Bond must have rehearsed his statement a thousand times.
He had a very canned statement for anything that about his legal problems.
Somebody actually asked us if we were reading off of
a teleprompter.
Or he was reading off a teleprompter.
He was doing a Luca Brasi before he went out there, before he went to see the Don. I understand like that couldn't have been fun for Isaiah Bond, but he was ready. He knew, his agent knew, probably the team told him, hey, you're going to get besieged with questions. We're not going to tell you what to say, but maybe we'll give you some guidance.
You're talking about Isaiah Bond?
Yes.
Oh, they crafted that message.
Right. So he did that. And yeah, there was a little criticism of, oh, you couldn't take questions about something that was a pretty big story. Whatever. But then it went away. It was over. He gave a statement. Everybody realized not going to get anything out of it. The Miles thing, I'm a little surprised. We all agree that he knew there were questions coming. I think he could have, in 100 different ways, have made this disappear and actually put a good spin on it. For the people that do care, I recognize most people don't care. Most Browns fans just want the sacks.
The people
like
do care. The people who do care call us, and then I feel bad. I do. Like, we had the guy who called up last week and said, you know, my brother had died because of a speeding incident. And I feel bad for that guy. I feel bad for that guy. And I feel bad for those that have been affected by that. But in most cases, Kenny gets a speeding ticket. He was going 74 and a 60. Kenny pays the fine. Kenny moves on about his day. Owen goes 75 and a 60. Owen pays the fine. Owen goes on about his day. I've had a bunch of speeding tickets in my past. Owen has had a bunch of speeding tickets in his past.
We don't come in to a press conference. There aren't people calling radio talk shows radio.
When I've done the same thing, how am I supposed to, and it's been a long time since I got a speeding ticket. Am I supposed to say I'm a better person? Am I supposed to say that I'm a better leader? Am I supposed to say any of these things? It's a common thing. It's a mistake. Learn from it. Move on. But man, we do this leadership thing, and he is not a leader. Stop! I'm almost talking to the media. I don't think the fans care. I think the fans know, because I've told the fans, and the fans agree, over the last how many years, he ain't no leader. Stop expecting him to be some movie-style rah-rah leader. He's not that guy. And that's fine as long as he continues to be a defensive player of the year candidate. So you're really stuck. We want the talent. We got the talent. He's not really a problem, considering the other problems that the roster has had.
Plays in the games.
I'm sure I'll get a lot of nasty tweets later saying I'm just making excuses and kissing Miles' ass, but that's the way it is.
It's pretty obvious that Miles is, I don't know if to test the media is the phrase, but he doesn't really have a big use for the media. Some players do. Some players use the media to get the most out of what they want to get out of the media. But the thing about Miles was, the guy that doesn't really like the media, he's cordial. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've had guys in here now. We've had quarterbacks in here that were not cordial to the media.
It's enough about Brian Hoyer. That's a Hall of Famer at St. Ignatius.
It was a never-ending battle with the media, with Brian. There are guys, like, you understand, like, they may not like the media, but they find a use for him. Miles doesn't seem to be that guy until he needed him when he sent out a press release. What is it called? A press release. Why? Because it's going out to the press. He was ready to use the media in all its glory when he wanted them for a trade request, right? To ultimately get what he really wanted, which was a contract. So, like, he understands the game. He knows when he can use the media towards his advantage, leverage the media.
Uh-huh.
I just think it would have been very easy for him to have a very nice statement that would have made all of this disappear forever.
But
yesterday,
it
and
was
he,
still
chose,
easy.
He chose the, a different route.
It was still easy for him because he waited a week and a half, and most of the reaction was, why are you guys wait? Why are you guys asking this still? Most of the reaction was, why are you asking still? Because they didn't get a chance to ask it in the first place. So he wins. Okay? And when you look at all the other things
What did he win in all this?
There's no... What fans hate him? There's no fans that hate him.
Yeah, but you said a win. What would be the win in this regard?
What's the loss?
$100 million a year.
Are we giving him a...
Yeah.
Well, just in the dealing with the media, though. Like, yeah, he's a winner in life. Oh, he's a lotto winner, whatever.
Can I tell you in the break? The closest
he ever came to not being able to cash in that lotto ticket was, ironically, when he rolled his car over when he was being reckless out on the roads. So it's just... It's just something that would anybody be surprised, unfortunately, if anything ever happened. Like, that's why we tell him, like, it can't be every time, right? I don't know what he does in his private time. I don't know how he, it is fun to get the car up to you know, get it open and let it loose. But just also, there is some responsibility. There is some element of maybe it makes sense to be careful out there occasionally.
You asked me how, like I said, well, Miles wins in the end. You go, well, how does Miles win? I said, he always wins in the end. He gets his money, and he uses the media however he wants. He stood there. I saw the reaction. He waits a week and a half to say anything. And the reaction from the fans are, remember, this is Browns fans who just want to go out and win. And ultimately, in their heart of hearts, they go, hey, it's speeding tickets. We've all had speeding tickets. Like, some of the things that other guys have been accused of, you'd like to hear something on them. And I think the Browns fans want to hear something on them. But when it comes to speeding tickets, while it can be serious, everybody sat there with their son going, Junior, what the hell are you doing?
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or everybody's been the son here in junior. What the hell are you doing? Everybody's been through it mostly. So you can be upset, but it's been a week and a half. So the immediate reaction is, why are you guys still talking about this? What's going on here? Why are we still talking about this? Typical Cleveland media, which is some of the nicest media you're going to find, as Lima will always tell you. Typical Cleveland media. Can't let a story go.
This is one of the easiest cities to play football in. I don't think that people realize that.
Typical Cleveland.
Imagine if this were Philadelphia.
So they're on.
They win Super Bowls and they want to fire the coach 4 weeks
in. They're on Miles' side. Miles knows he's not losing any fans over it. Miles knows he's not losing any sleep over it. And also Miles knows whenever he needs something that needs to be put out there, we'll all line up and do it. What am I going to do? If I was actually upset, I can only be honest with you guys. If I were actually upset and Miles calls me up and goes, Ken, I need you to do something for me here. I want to put out a story here. No, I'm mad at you. Why, Ken? Because you wouldn't answer the questions about speeding. I question myself as the words come out. So all of us will take the opportunity take the opportunity to break a story. So he gets the money. He still has the accolades, and he still has the people cooperating with him.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't think the questions should have been asked. Are you annoyed that the questions were asked?
No, the questions are fine to be asked. The questions are fine to be asked. I'm just telling you the truth of the matter. I'm not upset with the questions being asked. Go ahead and ask the questions. But I'm just not surprised. I'm not mad at him for not answering them. And maybe you think I should be mad at him. Maybe you care more about this than I thought you did.
No, it's not. Definitely not mad. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised. It would have been the very easiest thing in the world to have a great moment that everybody would rally behind. And instead, he's not getting that. I'm still seeing people are annoyed. People either don't care or they are really annoyed with him. He could have eliminated all of the annoyance by just answering the question and putting a nice tone on it. Like, you know, I've definitely made mistakes on the road. I know one nearly cost me my life, but I'm not gonna be some hazard to the community. You don't have to worry about me if you're driving on sharing the same road as me. If he would have said something like that, everybody would have been like. Instead, he's not getting that. Instead, he's getting either people mad at the media, which they're always mad at the media, whatever. But they're also getting the people that are deeply annoyed because they're saying things like, why can't he be a leader? Why can't he be a leader? Like, he wouldn't have to deal with any
because
of that.
But I don't think those people are going to really hold it against him in the end.
Well, it's just
when he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, are people going to turn his back on him at his Hall of Fame speech?
And you've seen it. He has one game against Houston in the playoffs where he is a non-factor, and immediately people go to, oh, defensive player of the year, leader, with big $125 million, whatever the contract was. Like, that's when they go to it. That's when he loses. They just look for things to pile on.
But in the end.
In the big games when he might not have a big game.
But in the end, he's still the guy who didn't do anything terrible. Like, we know right and wrong. We all have right and wrong. This is a speeding ticket. I know terrible things happen. We always couch it with that. But it's another speeding ticket. Compared to all the other skeletons and other closets that we hear about football players, this is definitely at the bottom, no matter how angry we want to act. He still has the accolades. He still has the money. He still has the first ballot Hall of Fame. He still probably gets his jersey retired here. What's the loss? What's the loss? And I would love for him to go 60 and a 60 or 69 and a 60 if we can do that. I don't know, 6'7", something with the kids. Gabe was showing us something with that. So maybe you can go 67 and a 60. I don't know, man. I think that, again, you go down that stretch of 71, I think anybody with common sense should know that, yeah, there's cops sitting all over the place there. But that's where he is. That's where it is. So I can act outraged and act holier than thou. I'm not. And I know that there's things that other guys have been accused of in this league. It doesn't make it 100% right.
Yeah, they play for the Browns.
It doesn't make me.
It's about seven of them.
It doesn't make me outraged over it. It doesn't make me outraged. And I'm not mad. I just came to expect it, really. I don't expect more out of them.
Yeah,
well, don't expect more.
Yeah, you've lowered the bar in terms of like leadership and stuff for Miles. You're just not asking for it anymore for Miles. I know the minute he signs that contract, that's what people like to bring up. So they want him to be perfect. They want him to never be in the news for anything outside of football once he signed that contract.
But I think that if you paid attention to this football team and Miles Garrett on this football team for 9 years, I think you know not to expect anything more. I brought it up before. If you are looking for leadership from him, I know he makes the most money. I know he's the best player on the defense, but that doesn't equate to leadership. If you're looking for leadership from him, you're looking in the wrong place. And it's a tough thing to say. I'd love him to be a big-time leader, the heart and soul, the Reggie White of this defense. It ain't him.
Really sounds like that, instead of the speeding, if Ken Carmen were at the press conference, it sounds like that would be the question you'd be asking Miles. Why aren't you the leader? How could you possibly not be? You're the guy that's been here. You've seen it all. You've played for all these coaches. You're a marvelous player. But you could go down in history as the best player ever in the history of the Browns.
But you know what?
Is that in play?
It's already done.
No, the best player in the history of the Browns. That in play?
Jim Brown is the best player in the history of the Browns.
He still doesn't have years ahead of him?
He's got years ahead of him, but I mean, Jim Brown was mythological. And I know Miles is great. Is Miles mythological? Like, Jim Brown was just this otherworldly thing. Now, again, I'm listening to ghost stories. Obviously, I never saw Jim Brown play. So who knows what we'll say about Miles Garrett in 30 years for the kids who never saw Miles Garrett play. Maybe that is in play. Maybe I have to look at it a different perspective. But I'm going to tell you this. If I questioned Miles, like if I did an interview, or if I just decided, you know what, I'm going to let it rip. Miles is going to sit here and he's going to hear a piece of my mind for the next 5 minutes. I don't think speeding tickets are going to get brought up. It's not going to be speeding tickets that make me upset. It's going to be another terrible loss with another terrible quarterback having another terrible performance, and then I just lose my mind and I go, you know, why does Anthony, and it's the same track, pull the string on me and let it run again. Why does Anthony Walker Jr. got to give the speeches? Why does Rodney McLeod got to give the speeches? You know, why is the quarterback that we used to have, when it came between you or him, why is the quarterback that we used to have all of a sudden the 38th best player in that team's franchise history all of a sudden? Why is it that way? Like, that would be brought up if I really wanted to get nasty about it. But then I go, well, you got 16 sacks, and we haven't had a quarterback. And we went out and traded for a quarterback who runs himself into sacks, can't read defenses, can't stay healthy. Okay, it's not all your fault, I guess. And again, you're really, really good. So if you fill your end of the bargain up on the field, there's only so much I can say.
But it's funny because Haslam did bring up when he was asked, you know, after all the trade rumors
that was lip service.
And Jimmy Haslam absolutely said, you know, we're gonna look for some leadership out of our dominant pass rusher.
Well, you can go looking for it, but I don't think you're gonna find it. It's that simple. And I wish it was different. I wish he used, you know, I remember Joe crying when they won the football game in 2016. I remember the pain, the stories that he shared with us both off and on the air. I wish that he would use that as some sort of a cautionary tale of like, hey, man, you only have a finite amount of time. But I don't know how much that matters. I think he wants to win, but I think that at the end of it, maybe he's okay with the career. And will I in 10 years, like say his career ends in 4 years. In 9 years, when he goes into the Hall of Fame, will I be sitting here at 48 years old going, oh, my God, yeah, but we lacked leadership with him? I don't know. I mean, maybe something crazy is going to happen here in the next year or so. I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to line right up with everybody else and say great things about him and how great of a defensive player he was. And honestly, it's weird. The speeding tickets, beside the speeding tickets, which don't make you a bad person, it can make you goofy, but it don't make you a bad person. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad guy at all. I understand there's one incident that happened on a football field, but you and I know that we have our theory about that, and we take his side on that, and you and I have been on the record about it.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there you are. There's been a snag in building a dome over in Brook Park. As the folks at ODOT, the county, as well, have said, nope, it's a bit too tall. It's a too tall structure. You're going to have to lower that structure. We can't give you a permit. And, well, the good friends, the Gallics, Ed and Peg, who've been on the show before, you know, when you get one Gallic at your doorstep, that's one thing. You get two Gallics at your doorstep or your office lobby, you got a whole other set of problems going on. And the double Gallics looked into things, and they said, now, wait a minute. The old Ford plant had smokestacks going up 300 feet. There was no problem there.
Look at what the I-team found out about the skyline around Hopkins Airport.
The State Department of Transportation denying a permit for the Browns to build a dome virtually next door. Concerned about it being too big and so close with planes taking off and landing.
So we dug up old video of what had stood on that site for decades. A factory with smokestacks soaring into the sky.
In fact, the seal of the city of Brook Park even includes smokestacks and an airplane.
At this meeting, a Brook Park councilman even raised the issue of the state saying no to a dome, yet for so long, smokestacks had practically cast a shadow on the airport.
So the stack would have been 43 feet taller than the current proposed stadium.
And is there any kind of a safety difference between smokestacks and a building?
Absolutely none.
Ooh, boy. Audio courtesy of Fox 8. Tone, when the Gallics are snooping around, you better mind your P's and Q's over there, buddy boy.
Well, you said at the beginning to set that up, you said the county. Originally, it was ODOT, right? It was the Ohio Department of Transportation that issued the letter. Now, it was either, what, the city or the county that urged them to reject
this? I believe it
was
both.
Yes.
But was Ronayne involved at all?
Yes. Yeah, but it was okay. ODOT that so you just got to be clear that it's
okay.
The state,
but the urging,
that actually rejected
did
it.
Did they look into it, or was the urging coming from who? The urging, as we understand, came from the city and the county.
But this came after
the FAA had cleared
everything. They had approved
everything.
It.
Yes.
But ODOT did not approve it. So
correct.
What needs to happen
But
here?
We're talking about airplanes in the air, and I think when you hear ODOT, you think cars on the road,
and
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And when the FAA is like, no, all good to go, you go, okay, we got the all clear. The pattern is not full. We got the okay to build this thing, and then all of a sudden this pops up. We have more on this.
We got
this
a little
on.
More on this.
Let's hear it.
We turn to commercial pilot and flight instructor Robert Katz. He points out the FAA did a detailed study of plans for the dome and determined no hazard to air navigation.
The city of Cleveland raised concerns, and now the state has said no permit to build the dome. The I-team has requested records from the city and the state asking how did they determine building a dome would be a danger for air traffic. And we obtained this email from the state to the city asking, in effect, are you sure you object to this? Quote, can you reevaluate the proposed structure based on the current FAA determination, an FAA finding of no hazard?
The airport director wrote back, the position of the city has not changed. Officials with the State Department of Transportation say they will be meeting with leaders of the Browns to go over why they denied the permit. There are several options officials from the Browns can now take, including appealing that decision. As a pilot, would you be concerned about this dome?
So long as FAA has greenlit the proposal, then I am 100% confident.
So what can audio again, courtesy of Fox 8, can we dig deeper and build it lower?
Or can we just pay the right politicians to hammer
this
through?
Hey, that's hey, whoa, hey,
Whoa. Can hit the button, but that's what it sounds
reckless
like.
Speculation.
Oh, is that not how politics work? Is that not what's been happening?
Well, you heard just come out and say
in
it
that
like
city
that.
Council
Why
meeting.
Can't I?
The Ford smokestacks were 43 feet higher than the current proposed dome.
I love it over here. You're like, Ken, we got to make sure. And then you're like, well, you got to make sure you pay the right politicians. Yeah. Like, whoa.
That's typically in the state how things get done, especially
you can't
when it comes
think that's
to.
In a lot of states.
As somebody who covered the state legislature, I can with confidence say that that's how things get done in this state. I think there's about 7 documentaries right now on Netflix that speak to that.
As a wise man once said, everybody down on the ground.
But do we need 2 more documentaries on Ohio politics to get how this stuff works?
You're supposed to dance around it. You can't just come out and say it. There's a dance to this, Tone. You can't just come out and say it like
that. Which campaign contributions we have to make sure this... I think this will get done. I don't think this is going to be a big... I saw some headlines when this came out originally like, oh my God, is the project in jeopardy? I'm like... Not only is the project not in jeopardy, I'm pretty sure some politicians are going to get taken care of.
But Tone, you can't. It gets done on appeal because you can't just come out and say that public safety is for sale.
I wonder what's going to change the minds, the hearts and minds of the people that are going to ram this through eventually. I wonder what's going to happen.
Tone.
I wish I had some influence over this. Then my bank account would be better.
You do. In some ways, you do.
Monetary influence over this?
Listen to Chris Matthews over here. This is some strong stuff.
I'm pretty sure everything's going to be okay. I'm pretty sure this will be on time.
But could you...
Will it be on budget? That's another question.
Could you dig deeper, though? Not in the story. I mean, could you actually just dig deeper? And go, okay, we're going to get it underneath this threshold here. Let's go ahead and...
I'm sure there's 1,000 technicalities that'll eventually get hammered out here.
Is this going to be like a speakeasy where it just looks like a house on the, the ground level and then you knock on the door and you walk down
that'd be great.
70,000 person seated.
Or if they left like an excavator on site and you have to turn the key a certain way and then all of a sudden you'll walk through one of the big front loaders.
It's going to turn into the beginning and Get Smart. I mean, I've seen Batman enough to know if he's able to get it out of the cave. I mean, you could do something like that. Just need a place to put 65,000 people and have one of the best concourses, the biggest concourse in the NFL, and the biggest fan wall in all the NFL.
It did seem like the Haslams, the Browns, were totally stunned that
weren't you?
That any of this happened.
I was. I got to tell you, I was.
Well, the
flummoxed.
Reason is because obviously the Browns have done such a good job in making sure to cover all their bases. Doing all the due diligence, you know, all the research. They've hired the top consultants, the people that have built these stadiums and have been able to get this stuff through. They basically, you know, utilized all of the right people to get this done. So I think they were stunned that there would be any last minute obstacles here. And this is one last minute obstacle. Because remember, the timing is everything here because they want to break ground and have the football field, the dome, ready to go by when? 2029.
That's what you would think. And again,
they can't afford to have any delays.
The lease runs out after the 2028 season. So if you're delayed, how long are you delayed? Okay, what are the Browns going to do? Do they have to pay an extra year to stay at Heineken Field? What do they have to do there? Is that one of the plays that are there? Like, if you delay this thing long enough, maybe they give you an extra. I don't know how that works.
And now you can see, like, the people that feel wronged by all of this in this contentious battle between the city, the county, and the Haslams. I mean, I could see them trying to squeeze out as much money as possible.
I think the people who feel wrong, though, are not necessarily in City Hall or in the county offices. I think there might be people who feel wrong who are just waking up and making themselves some coffee listening to this right now, getting ready to go to work. I think that the other people might just be trying to save some face here.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.